Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. This week we are discussing the video game Mortal Kombat vs. DC Universe.
Which some of us might argue is not really part of the DCAU. Might possibly argue that.
Be honest, this is probably, of the ones that I looked at, this is probably the one that's kind of the most marginal in terms of the Injustice ones that are direct comic books and Arkham games. Originally, when you actually watch them, they could tie into the DC animated TV series. Well, certainly the first game can.
Mm-hmm.
So this one, it's also a bit strange. Mortal Kombat's this really strange thing where it's both when it was part of Midway and NRS, the studio that takes over it when Midway went out of business. Mortal Kombat and DC have probably been the most crossover DC's had with another property for the last decade.
Yeah. I get that, but it's not really in the same sense as their animated universe. I mean, yes, it's animated and it's DC.
Yeah.
But it's not what people think of.
Admittedly, yes. That's
because also true. There's no... I mean, you could argue whether there's a narrative, but there's not much of a narrative.
Yes. Well, that's what we're going to go in. Well, this is actually, instead of recording... We recorded an intro, but for some reason I wasn't speaking coherent sentences, so we're re-recording it.
Yeah, sorry about that. I just get distracted.
No. You were wonderful. You were great as usual. It's me that's the problem. Then again, this was my idea, so this is my this is me being the problem as well.
No, I think it's you being completionist, which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that, like, you know, if somebody had. If it hadn't been that we were doing this and you hadn't said that, let's do it, I wouldn't even, this wouldn't have registered for me as something anyone counted as part of the animated universe.
I still think it's, what I will say is, this is probably, in terms of, if you're counting it as being DC and being animated, this is also probably one of the higher drawing
Yeah, I mean, that's fair, yeah.
So, what we did, instead of playing the game, which requires the degree of skill and to buy something, there is actually basically movies of the cutscenes. One thing that this game and the two Injustice games have is, effectively, it's half my notes, is... This character appears in a place, and one person tries to fight them, and then a second person tries to fight them, and in between there's some cutscenes. And, you know, we'll jump straight into it. So, we only watched the DC plotline because the other one would require a lot more explanation as this is this character, this is their motivation, because by this point there's seven games of backstory, and that's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, I've got also, for everyone, so everyone knows, I have, like, zero background with the Mortal Kombat games. I know they have an overarching storylines and characters that keep coming back up. I may have played one in a arcade when I was a kid.
Right.
But it's not my bag of thing. Like, fair, I got into trouble a few months ago by going, just assuming that all fighter games are the same. And I didn't know that there was a storyline to any of the Mortal Kombat games. And then so I had it explained to me before we even got to this. So at least I knew that there were some people that, you know.
What happened was, so the first seven games, to say the first three games had a storyline as being quite loose.
Right. So what we're saying is, given my age, they're probably the ones I saw and then just discounted. And then now people are saying, oh, but now.
From the fifth one beyond, there was explicit story modes. That said, I think the story modes in all the kind of fighting games now, it's kind of a par for the course. But in terms of there were text screens in the first three games that explained that there was a context to what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of, it's probably from the fourth or fifth one that they actually had cutscenes and a solid kind of quest structure. The Mortal Kombat DC is probably the first time that you have multiple chapters where you're playing as different characters.
Right.
Now, the Mortal Kombat world that's depicted in this is a bit strange, as is the DC universe, to be fair, in terms of both of them don't exist within a preset storyline.
Mm-hmm.
In theory, with the alliances that both sides display, it's possible that this is set between Mortal Kombat 3 and 4, in terms of stuff like Shao Kahn is the main villain, Scorpion is probably quite villainous in his portrayal, Kitana's a hero, that sort of. And in terms of the characters, it's sort of the fact that Johnny Cage is dead as well, which is something that you see his gravestone in one cutscene.
Oh yeah,
which again kind of dates it. But that said, it doesn't bear any relation to any other games. There is a reference to this game in a few of the things in Mortal Kombat 11.
Mm-hmm.
What ends up being revealed in the 11th game is that effectively there is a god of time who is constantly resetting the timeline.
As you do.
And this is probably one of the other timelines that she's reset.
Okay.
So we open up with Superman and the Justice League having just defeated Darkseid.
Hooray.
Because that's how you start the game with, one half of our primary villains has just been defeated.
Yeah, you know, I thought that was quite... To be fair, yeah, I enjoyed the little sequence. It was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Decent voice acting, decent characterization.
Yep. And decent little hair quiff on Superman.
I like Superman with a hair quiff. I'd like to point out there's no Dick Grayson in this, which is, again, missed opportunity. I'm just saying.
I hate to tell you, in Injustice, Dick Grayson is explicitly dead.
I know that. I've read Injustice.
Oh, of course you have. I've read the comics,
yeah. Yeah, it's just erasure.
Yeah. So, two things are clear. One, Luthor was working with Darkseid, which is that a common thing? I would have thought that's kind of
I think it may have happened, but not that often. I'm sure I've seen something with Luthor and Darkseid and the fourth world, but I don't know what.
Darkseid tries to run away in a teleportation boom tube.
Mm-hmm.
Superman blasts him with heat vision, which apparently this is the first time that this has ever happened.
Yeah, that seems surprising, but yes.
So, this causes the portal to malfunction, and though we don't see it at the same time, Shao Kahn is teleporting out of Earthrealm and gets hit by lightning by Raiden at the exact same time, which causes a weird phenomena to happen.
We all know where it's going, really.
Which is, yes, the two universes begin to merge.
Yes, basically the whole Darkseid thing is just how can we get the universes to merge?
And how can we create a villain that's threatening? Oh no, what we'll do is we'll go, if you take Shao Kahn, who is one of the most powerful antagonists in the whole Mortal Kombat series, and Darkseid, one of the most powerful villains in the DC, and we'll make them into one super character that looks terrible.
Yeah.
and doesn't look remotely like either of them.
Yeah.
We then finish with Superman carrying Luthor off to space jail.
Yeah.
And we start our first chapter with the Flash.
Yes. I liked seeing the Flash. I liked seeing some different characters for once.
Yeah. So actually, I've just realised this is the first time in the DCAU podcast that Darkseid's appeared on screen.
I think so, yeah.
So that was our Darkseid cameo. That was nice. Speaking of people making a first appearance.
Yeah, a lot of people making their first appearance, I think. Yep.
Flash walks in on Deathstroke decapitating someone.
Nice.
And wouldn't you know it, your first fight is the Flash versus Deathstroke, and because you're playing the Flash wins.
Yeah, well, he should win anyway.
Yeah. After the fight, something strange happens to Flash, and he gets a temporary surge of yellow energy.
Yes, you get the yellow eyes and...
and anger.
Yes. Apparently a different personality. We've got nothing to defend that, but yep. We'll believe it.
So, Flash runs to Gotham, leaving Deathstroke beaten, but recovering enough that he could run before the police get there.
Yes.
Which makes sense. Meanwhile, in Gotham, we have Catwoman has just completed a theft because everyone's busy.
She looks terrible, by the way.
One, she looks terrible. Two, and I will confess, this is also something I don't like about Injustice 2. She has one character trait, which is she is sexy.
Yeah, well, and I don't know if I like her in purple outfit.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but the purple outfit didn't do it for me.
This is also one of the examples of extremely egregious cleavage.
Yeah, but hers aren't even as bad as like some of the others. But like, yeah, it was just all round, she didn't seem very... it wasn't good for me.
And I'll be honest, there's also the voice I liked the least.
Yeah, I think this is what I mean. I think it was like everything. It was one of the only characters that jolted me out on like, is that actually Catwoman? Like, I literally needed somebody to confirm it was Catwoman, even with the cat ears, for me to go, oh, okay, it really is Catwoman. No, I don't like it. So
Catwoman is defeated by Flash in a fight.
And
she drops the goods, only for a man with a Terminator eye and an Australian accent to pick it up.
Yeah. I didn't even know who that was.
So this is Kano.
Okay, so this... you see, I wasn't sure if it was actually supposed to be someone from the DC universe.
No, this is our first...
I got really confused because that was the only one that was like, is this Boomerang in some outfit I don't know about? Or like...
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so, that makes more sense.
So Kano is... well, I actually sent...
yeah, no, I read that. I just didn't pay... I didn't really sort of take on board that was him, if that makes sense.
So Kano is a mercenary who is effectively... if there's a bad guy, he's worked for them.
Nice. I like that kind of...
it's effectively his storyline.
By choice or because he keeps getting like...
no, because he gets paid.
No, I just wondered because, you know, it could be that or, you know, like sometimes they're like, oh, I just get these people I keep getting employed by turn out to be evil. That's fine. As long as it's a choice.
It's definitely a choice. Kano takes far too long to realize, no, if you keep firing your laser, he's going to keep dodging it.
Yeah, right.
And then Flash and him fight. Flash is about to kill Kano because he's started to rage out.
Mm-hmm.
And Batman stops him.
Yeah, that was weird. But kind of right.
It's almost as if they went to Gotham purely so Batman could Deus Ex Machina.
Right, like who would have guessed?
Flash then beats Batman in a fight. And this is
controversial.
I wonder why the DC fans didn't get on board. Batman loses his first fight.
I mean, I think it makes sense. Like, I've definitely seen people argue that the Flash should win almost every fight purely on the basis of just raw speed. And I think, I get that argument. I think it's one of those ones that, as most comic writers now tend to say when they do all these who would beat who, it's like whoever's writing, like whoever's the main character will win. But I think with Flash and Batman, I could definitely see Flash winning. Not in every fight.
Yeah.
So that doesn't bother me. But I could see some people getting annoyed by it.
And, ironically, the thing that annoyed most people is this is the only Mortal Kombat game in history that wasn't R-rated.
Really? I mean, like, that annoyed people? Well, on the basis of blood? Or
yes. They, on the basis
they don't
want
to fight to get... They should go play some Dragon Age. There's lots of blood in that.
Well, the idea is, for example, fatalities were considerably nerfed because DC kind of went, well, we really don't want Superman's
spine ripping to be people's ripped heads out. Off. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the main criticism of the game from Mortal Kombat fans is, oh no, it's considerably nerfed in terms of its violence. I mean, to be fair, I played the first Mortal Kombat game I played was Mortal Kombat Trilogy on the PlayStation, and I was 7.
Yeah.
And I turned out absolutely fine.
No, I mean, like, look, I've played many brutal. I don't think there is a correlation. I just think it's, I think it's funny that it would be something people want, like that people notice. Yeah. Like for me, if I'm enjoying the game, I don't really notice enough to complain about it. But it may be a sense of who the audience is and, you know, once you've got used to something. Like, and how many Mortal Kombat games have there been before that? I guess any difference? And if that happened to be the difference, then so be it. But, like, they'd notice any difference.
Yeah, absolutely. So, the first of two times, Batman loses a fight and then immediately tasers his opponent.
Yeah, because he's mad.
Yes. We then have Chapter 2, which is Batman. Yeah. So we're getting Batman out of the way very quickly. So Batman is examining the Flash, having apparently abandoned Kano knocked out on the street.
Yeah, because he wanted to see what was wrong with the person he knew, I guess.
Yeah. So Flash wakes up with a major headache. He explains that he was consumed by rage. Flash then proceeds to have another rage fit, only for him to suddenly spontaneously swap places in the universe with Scorpion.
Yeah, that was weird, but kind of okay.
Which leads to a fight in the Batcave between Scorpion and Batman.
I did like having the Batcave as a location.
Which means that Batman defeats an undead revenant.
Because, you know,
he's Batman.
He's Batman. And he can beat the Flash, but he can beat, you know, the undead.
Yeah. He can beat the most iconic fighter, the one that's the basis for Nelvelm Studios' logo. Batman then spots another energy signature in Gotham. He decides to take the unconscious body of Scorpion with him.
This time.
Yes,
he's learning his lesson. Don't just abandon bodies.
And as he is heading over to the energy signature, he's attacked by Joker.
Oh, yeah. Joker was all right in this. I mean, he wasn't all right in that I hate the Joker, but he didn't annoy me all that much.
Yeah. So
he was a little bit sleazy, but there were some good dunk lines about him, so that was all right.
Absolutely. So Batman defeats Joker very easily.
Yeah. Because that he always should.
And it establishes, oh no, Joker's not much of a fighter in this universe. Whilst Joker is being arrested, Liu Kang appears, who is
I liked him.
Yeah, Liu Kang, he's more prominent in the Mortal Kombat story. Liu Kang is probably the kind of the level of Batman in terms of he's probably one of the most popular characters, but for some reason, well, because there is a literal god in the Mortal Kombat side, that's who the main character is for Mortal Kombat.
Right.
Which is
strange.
But it
should be Liu Kang.
It really should be Liu Kang.
Right, so that's what we're basically saying.
Because Liu Kang is, look, the first four games of Mortal Kombat, Liu Kang is the actual hero. I mean, he's meant to be Bruce Lee, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
He's Bruce Lee if Bruce Lee had dragon powers and fire powers.
And I'm sure he wished he did.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he needed them.
It's even to the extent of, so spoiler alerts for MK11, anyone who hasn't played it yet, Liu Kang literally becomes a god by the end of Mortal Kombat 11.
Yes.
He becomes the god of fire.
Interesting.
And in chart, and is the the canon ending basically leads to him being in charge of time.
Nice.
So, Batman tries to talk to Liu Kang, only for Liu Kang to rage up, think he's Liu Kang's main rival, Shang Tsung, and they fight.
Yay. But also, I mean, like, to be fair, Liu Kang or whatever, he's only ever used to being in a fightery place where you have to fight everyone. It's the DC people that launching into fights that's more unusual to me. Mortal Kombat people, it's their lives. That's all they know.
It's that sort of thing. It does seem to be a plot hook of, right, we need these two characters to fight. Rage! They were raging. There we go. They're just raging for no reason.
They definitely went for the easiest plot hooks possible, but that's also fine.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't expect deep, nuanced storytelling in my fighter games.
So, during fighting Liu Kang, Joker and Scorpion gets away. Green Lantern is called in, takes Batman to the UN space station, which is, it's a UN space station instead of a Justice League one.
Interesting.
Liu Kang's blood does not exist on the database under any species they know.
Dun, dun, dun. Come on, Batman, work it out.
Not even human, which is weird.
I guess it's a sort of multiverse kind of thing. Yeah.
And there is a lightning storm in the space station.
Which is always good to watch. It's good watching.
Only for the most powerful Mortal Kombat protagonist in this game to appear and get beaten by Batman.
Yes.
Because, look, Raiden is effectively, he is the equivalent of Superman in the Mortal Kombat plot. Right. In terms of, he's the last fighter you fight as.
Okay.
Yes, but he gets bitched out by Batman, because of course he does.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So, Raiden still manages to teleport out with Liu Kang.
Mm-hmm.
It's at this point that Batman finally looks at Earth. And it is a patchwork quilt of things on fire.
Which is kind of awesome as well.
Yeah. And Superman has completely disappeared to the Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah, he's retracted to his safe place.
And we find out why later.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, we cut to our third chapter, which is Wonder Woman. And Themyscira has merged with the island of Shang Tsung.
And yeah, I'm sorry, but I couldn't take Wonder Woman's chest seriously. It was horrific.
Yeah, it is ridiculous.
That was the moment where I just went, really? Like, it just totally put me off the whole thing. I was like, I know, like, what do I care? And, like, what do I expect from games? But I expect a bit more is all I can say.
Yeah. So, Shang Tsung's Island is the setting for the first Mortal Kombat game. Shang Tsung is, and it's one of these, why are you invading? What do you mean invading? You're invading us.
Yeah.
And Wonder Woman defeats Shang Tsung, who then runs away. Wonder Woman decides, right, Superman has disappeared. I'll go to Metropolis.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can have a different background for the next fight scene. And when she's in Metropolis, wouldn't you know it, a Mortal Kombat character randomly appears.
Yeah.
And it is Kitana, who I'm imagining is there to either her or Sonya Blade is meant to be the equivalent of Wonder Woman.
Right.
And wouldn't you know it, Wonder Woman tries to talk to Katana, who at one point says, oh, he's more powerful than ever, and then Katana rages out. Whilst this is happening, Batman then calls Wonder Woman and goes, go to the Fortress of Solitude, Superman's been attacked.
Yeah.
Which means Wonder Woman didn't think to check the Fortress of Solitude first.
Yeah, I know, it's a bit insulting, mm-hmm. again.
Also then goes in to find Superman frozen.
Why not?
By Sub-Zero, who then fights Wonder Woman. And Wonder Woman finally goes, right, we should really tie this guy up. She then breaks Superman out of the ice structure he's in, at which Superman basically explains, I don't know why, but my powers are all fluctuating.
Yeah. And we know why. We suspect why.
We suspect why. Someone else whose abilities are completely and utterly going haywire is Captain Marvel.
Oh, yeah, Shazam. Captain Marvel.
I think he's still Captain. It's weird hearing him being called Captain Marvel.
It is. I know that, but I've never really known him as that, or like even when I have, I've never really thought of him as that. I didn't, you know, so.
So Wonder Woman goes up to the UN base,
mm-hmm.
and defeats Captain Marvel, and he says that his magic is completely screwing up. It's almost as if there are foreign gods interfering.
Yes.
Which, to be fair, there are.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, Green Lantern has disappeared to Oa.
Yes, that was a weird little segment.
So,
but I liked it because I like Green Lantern.
So our next chapter is Green Lantern. And in Oa, suddenly a wild Catwoman and Luthor teleport in.
Yeah, that was weird. But I liked seeing all the little guardians.
Yeah. Which purely exists for Luthor to go, oh, I stole one of their teleportation devices. I was aiming for Earth, but somehow I ended up on Oa.
Yeah.
He then rages out and Green Lantern defeats Luthor.
Which, yeah. Not
Luthor probably. Seems to be very angry in this. Like, he seems to be the one that rages out the most often.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's Luthor, isn't he?
Yeah. And, well, as you mentioned, the Guardians appear and explain, right, the two worlds are merging together, rage is spreading throughout the universe, and this is going to destroy both universes.
Mm.
Lantern then decides that he needs to work with Catwoman and Luthor to face off against a bigger threat.
Mm-hmm. Always the way.
They transport to Metropolis, and we get a cutscene that is Luthor and Catwoman going, so we're betraying these guys, right?
Yeah.
And it is just, you're just sitting and going, yeah, no, I could have figured this out. But thanks for explicitly telling us.
Yes, they're very good at stressing what's going on.
Yeah. Hi guys, we hope you're enjoying the show you're listening to now. We have a show that we think you might like. I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And we present a show called Rise of the Robots,
where we cover such robot combat shows as
Robot Wars,
BattleBots,
King of Bots,
and BuggleBots,
where we recap these shows and review them, and document the rise of the robots.
You can find us on your podcast app of choice or at audioboom.com. Just search for Rise of the Robots.
Green Lantern then goes somewhere else and fights Jax, who is a guy with metal arms.
Yeah, I liked him.
Yep. And after that, Sonya Blade shows up, who
I've
is...
I've heard of her.
Yeah, she is the female character that's been there from the beginning in terms of,
she's just there for eye candy. Because they had to have a female character.
She is. I do think Sonya Blade is one of these characters. She's always been in Mortal Kombat, but she's never really been in it. Like, she's, it'd be wrong to say she's not an important character, but she's kind of, she's just kind of always there without being the main hero.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's even stuff like, by the 10th game, she's not even, the 10th game is the one where the final chapter is a female character, and it's her daughter.
Okay.
So, yeah, she's always kind of there or thereabouts, but never the main hero. Lantern recognizes Sonya Blade because they fight in the other plotline.
Right.
And in that one, Green Lantern wasn't charged up, so Sonya Blade defeated him. And in this one, Green Lantern defeats Sonya.
Right. Yeah, because this makes sense.
Yep. Yeah, whilst this is all happening, we've got Mortal Kombat characters beating both each other up and DC characters.
Mm-hmm.
Lantern is then joined by Captain Marvel, who effectively tells him the exact same thing the Guardians told him, and Marvel then wants to go to the source of his magic to see what's going on.
Yeah.
Which leads to Chapter 5, which is Captain Marvel.
Yay.
Yay. So, Captain Marvel is looking for Shazam? Well, he keeps on calling him the Wizard.
Which was that? That was fine.
I do think Captain Marvel seems to be the character that is most actively trying to fight against being enraged.
Yeah, I actually really like this segment. It was nice to see. I've read a little bit more Captain Marvel recently, and it was quite nice. I thought it was very well done, actually. It's a hard character to get right.
Because it's one of those ones where you have to, yeah, you have to portray him as a child, but not portray him as a child.
Yeah, he has to have a childish view of heroism.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also not just a child. Like, you know, it's kind of dismissive to say he's just a child because everything he's done since he's had the power has made him a much more worldly child than, but he has a very sort of black and white view of morality sometimes, so it doesn't surprise me that he's got the most there.
So, the man given lightning powers by the gods fights the god with lightning powers as Raiden attacks him. As I said, beforehand, Marvel is trying so hard to fight against the rage.
Yeah.
So after defeating and punching Raiden so hard he teleports, the Wizard appears and again goes, yes, the worlds are merging. Just in case you didn't hear that, the first three times we did it and the time we showed you and the multiple times we've been referenced to it. And then we get our first view of Dark Khan.
Yeah.
Who looks like a lava person.
Very much.
Which is ironic since the main monster you have to defeat in the previous Mortal Kombat game, which was the last, because this is the first time Mortal Kombat's been on PlayStation 3 at this point.
Right. Oh, interesting.
Thank you very much. So the main monster in that is a lava man.
Yeah.
And the main monster in the 10th game is an evil god imbued with superpowers that makes him into a lava man.
Okay.
So they do like their lava men.
Mm-hmm.
And Marvel is basically told, right, you need to assemble all the DC heroes and villains together to fight this threat. As he's then going to try and find Superman, Marvel is grabbed by Scorpion and pulled into Netherrealm, which is effectively hell.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, the three people that are occupying Nelwyn at this moment are Scorpion, which does make sense since that's his home.
Yeah.
And two Outworld characters, Sanctuary and Baraka.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't you know it, your next three fights are Scorpion, Baraka, and Sanctuary.
Yes. Good fights, I'm sure.
Which, all the while, it's basically... The plot is Shang Tsung going, yes, you are good, but can you defeat this guy? Oh, you defeated this guy. Maybe you won't defeat this guy. Okay, fine. You'll have to defeat me now. And Marvel, after defeating all three, Captain Marvel says, right, send me home now.
Yeah, that's why I like it. That's the pure child. Now just do, send me back now. I've done what you wanted.
So after they leave, Shang Tsung makes reference to, we need to talk to Quan Chi, who is the one Mortal Kombat character that appears in this game that you can't fight as.
Interesting.
So probably because he's always been a weaker fighter. Right. Quan Chi has always been, the way that he's always portrayed is he is sort of the, he's the second in command of NetherRealm, the person who's in charge is the main villain of the fourth game, a guy called Shinnok, and Quan Chi is originally portrayed as a little bit incompetent, but effectively he tends to be one of these guys who's always... He's always got a scheme going on.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And he... So he and Shang Tsung are actually joint villains of the fifth game.
Right.
Because why not? And then in the ninth and tenth games, he's completely rewritten to be this sort of sinister mastermind.
Right.
And it doesn't really suit him because he's meant to be a bit incompetent.
Like most masterminds.
If you ever see him, he basically looks like Kratos.
Yeah, yeah.
But a bit naff.
Version of.
Yes, exactly. So it seems weird that Shang Tsung would be answering to him, though. Mm-hmm. Because generally it's kind of the two of them are sort of on a par. Captain Marvel is then joined by Lex Luthor, Deathstroke, Catwoman, and Joker, because all the antagonists are working together for reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Before it can escalate, Superman shows up. We then get explained between the party everything that we already know, because we need to be reminded again. And it purely seems to exist so Joker can do a Khan joke.
Yeah, it's absolutely there so he can do a Khan joke.
Before we can get a fight between Lex Luthor and Superman, which Joker is heartily encouraging,
yeah.
Captain Marvel stops them and manages to convince everyone to work together.
You know, in the spirit of
friendship.
Yeah.
So we get three teams, Luthor and Catwoman, Marvel and Superman.
Which is always a great team up.
And Deathstroke and Joker.
Yeah.
Which seems to exist as an odd couple joke.
Yeah. It's just not a good one.
Yeah. So the next chapter is Joker, because we don't get a Deathstroke chapter.
Which we should. He's more interesting than Joker.
We do get a In Injustice, we get a Deathstroke chapter.
Yeah, actually... but Injustice is a way away, right?
Yes. And it's strange because in that one, Deathstroke actually has a character arc. As opposed to this, where he is angry swordsman.
Yes.
Shock, horror. Joker and Deathstroke don't get on.
Yeah, who knew? But then who does get on with Joker?
Absolutely. And... they are then attacked by the single most unlikely alliance possible in the games, which kind of indicates, right, the Mortal Kombat guys must be working together now. Because Sonya Blade and Kano are working together. Which, it's like Joker and Batman teaming up. It just doesn't happen. They pair off, so Kano's fighting Deathstroke in the background, and Joker fights Sonya. For some reason, they teleport to Oa because Joker splashes Sonya's teleportation device with acid.
But actually, it's just a nicer background. They just
So, Joker wins the fight with Sonya.
Interesting. But he's a rubbish fighter. Which is another, let's diss the female characters.
Well, what actually does happen is, even Joker's kind of going,
how did I do this?
How did I win? And it seems that Joker is the person who most actively benefits from combat rage.
Yeah.
Because not only is he able to defeat Sonya, he's then able to step in instead of Deathstroke, who at this point has been established is about level with Kano. And Joker defeats Kano.
Just all right.
And Joker, feeling more powerful than ever, decides, right, I'm going to turn on Deathstroke now.
Because, you know.
Because why not?
Why not? Cut your losses, right?
And he defeats Deathstroke. And then he goes, right, I suddenly have incredible fighting prowess.
Yeah, who shall I go fight now?
I wonder. And apparently, he must have taken the teleportation technology because he goes to Gotham.
Of course.
And defeats Batman.
Da, da, da.
And after celebrating that he's defeated Batman, Joker gets tasered by Batman.
Because you know, Batman's still got his wits about him.
Exactly. So Batman then contacts Luthor and goes, yeah, your team with Joker and Deathstroke failed. And it's at this point Luthor goes, oh no, they were just the distraction. Because why not?
Yeah, because we know what's really happening.
Which means we get a chapter with Lex Luthor. So Lex and Catwoman show up at Liu Kang's temple. The temple where Liu Kang studies. Only to be attacked by another unlikely alliance of Scorpion and Sub-Zero.
Yeah, that one was really weird.
Because that's like the quintessential Mortal Kombat rivalry. Though that said, they have worked together since the 10th game, but that's a different story. But to put in context, Scorpion killed the original Sub-Zero, and now he's working with the second Sub-Zero, who is the first Sub-Zero's brother, because plot reasons.
That's always the only important thing, plot reasons.
So, Luthor defeats Sub-Zero and Scorpion, and then rescues a frozen Catwoman, because we can't have a female character have any agency whatsoever. Luthor then finds the portal. Catwoman conveniently disappears, only for Jax to fight with Luthor, which is apparently a rematch from earlier. Flash has meanwhile knocked out Catwoman off screen, and Luthor then defeats Flash, at which point the rest of the DC heroes and villains show up.
Yeah, there's a big party of fight.
Yep, big party of fight, and they go, right, we all need to go to Apocalypse to fight this Dark Khan guy.
Yeah.
And then this is the scene where the two stories completely merge.
Yeah.
At the same time that the DC characters all team together and head for Apocalypse, all the Mortal Kombat characters team up and head for Outworld.
Uh-huh.
And wouldn't you know it, they basically end up on the same bit of...
I know, who would gathered? Who, like, who would plan that?
And wouldn't you know it, the Mortal Kombat guys think the DC heroes are working for Dark Khan. And wouldn't you know it, the DC heroes think the Mortal Kombat characters are working for Dark Khan.
Of course, like, what a surprise. And I was frankly shocked.
And everyone's all raged out because Dark Khan finally appears and goes, "You are all together! Brilliant! Fight!" And we don't, because the PlayStation 3 does not have enough power to make this fight happen, we see it in random screenshots, basically.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
So the main battle between the two armies does not get shown explicitly. All we know is that the two armies are of equal level, meaning that the only people left conscious are apparently Batman, Lex Luthor, Superman, mm-hmm. Raiden, and you'll probably find Liu Kang.
Yeah.
So we get to our final chapter, which is Superman, which starts off with Lex turning on Superman, because of course.
Mm-hmm.
Superman defeats him and then goes to kill Luthor because one, he's at full strength, and two, he's raging out.
Yes.
Batman, like,
a rage out one.
Batman seems to have finally learned how to control the rage.
Which is funny, because in general it's the one thing he can't, you know, control.
Exactly.
Revenge desire.
Or is so used to carrying a revenge desire. Yeah. To function normally.
Yeah. Who's noticed the difference? This is just Batman already having to suppress his rage.
I feel incredible rage and a need for vengeance.
My name is Batman.
So, Batman and Superman fight.
Yes.
This helps Superman to clear his rage. So he goes to fight Dark Khan.
Because let's face it, you're always going to get your Superman out as your big hitter.
Yep. So Superman goes to confront Dark Khan. However, instead, he ends up facing Raiden. Dark Khan basically uses the energy to get them to fight each other and feeds off that energy.
Yeah. That's all he wants. He just wants your rage energy. It's fine.
Just wants more fighting. Come on. Just
and in fact, you, player of the game, are complicit in this. Because you also want more fighting.
Indeed. All you really need to have is have him slobbering over the female characters, and you've completely turned Dark Khan into the stereotypical video game player of 2008.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, what then happens is Superman defeats Raiden. Surprise, surprise, in the Mortal Kombat story, Raiden defeats Superman at this point. And at this point, Raiden and Superman finally work out that both of them oppose Dark Khan. Because finally they go, oh, wait, we're actually allies against a common enemy.
Well, we could actually fight together in this. This would be good.
It only took us 53 minutes of 59 to figure this out.
Yeah, right.
And we then have Superman and Raiden fighting together, though you actually only fight as Superman, to defeat Dark Khan, who then proceeds to explode.
Hooray!
And next thing you know, Superman wakes up and we're in Darkseid's throne room and the Mortal Kombat guys have all disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And there was only one change to the universe, which is now, instead of Darkseid, it is Shao Kahn.
Yes.
whose magic doesn't work now. And he's sent to the Phantom Zone.
What a shame.
And that's the end of the main plotline.
Yep.
Now, you do get... What you also get is... If you play the arcade ladders of the game, mm-hmm. which is effectively you fight 10 characters in a row as one character.
All right.
You then get the endings for each character and the what happened next for all of them.
Okay.
So
interesting.
Darkseid and Shao Kahn basically get the same basic story, which is, though at first they have no power, something happens that means that they suddenly have powers again, and now they're able to fight the DC or Mortal Kombat, whichever universe they are in.
Right.
I won't go for the Mortal Kombat stories because the only ones that kind of really are important is Raiden started to take on traits of Superman and Kano starts to take on traits of Joker.
Okay, interesting.
We'll skip Batman because it actually ties into something else. Captain Marvel meets the elder gods of the Mortal Kombat universe who give him new abilities.
Oh, cool. What new abilities does he get?
It doesn't tell you. It just says he has new abilities. Catwoman now has magic and can turn into a panther.
Okay. Weird.
Deathstroke decides to create a mercenary group called the Deathstrike Clan, and he effectively becomes a bit like Scorpion.
Right, I see where we're going with this.
The Flash establishes a psychic link with Liu Kang, and basically they agree to work with each other, so if one of their someone from their universe tries to cross over, mm-hmm. they'll alert the other one. And that allows the Flash to defeat Quan Chi.
Nice.
Green Lantern's actually, his arcade ladder is a reference to the game Mortal Kombat Armageddon, in that a pyramid appears randomly on a planet
mm-hmm.
with a mysterious power at the top of the pyramid. The Sinestro Corps decide they want this power, and the Green Lantern Corps go to fight them. Which is the end of Mortal Kombat Armageddon is because there are so many fighters in the Mortal Kombat universe. I think there's something like 30 or 40 by this point.
Blimey.
They're getting too powerful for the world to contain them. So the gods create a pyramid, which has a power at the top, which is Blaze, and whoever manages to defeat all the other guys in a big fight, which is the opening cutscene of the game,
mm-hmm.
gains basically god powers and can either save the world or destroy it. And the canon ends up being Shao Kahn gets that power, but before he's able to destroy the world, Raiden manages to send a message to his younger self to reset time. And that's how you get the rebooted series.
Jeez, they just do anything. Like, can't they just say it's a reboot? Like, I love this, the sort of mental gymnastics they have to do to say they're fighting. Is that you? It just seems that you could separate a lot of that by just saying they're fighting.
Well,
and then carry on. Anyway.
It's basically someone stole Star Trek and that's a good idea.
Yeah.
So Joker now has magical powers. He ends up taking over Gotham and hosts Mortal Kombat tournaments. Lex Luthor creates portal technology and is able to enter the Mortal Kombat universe, creating a deadly alliance with Quan Chi. So Superman, with Shazam, creates a suit that makes him immune to magic.
Okay.
and Wonder Woman finds materials from the Mortal Kombat universe, a shield, a sword, and an amulet, which make her incredibly powerful. And Batman creates an army of robots that are Batman robots, and then detects an anomaly in Metropolis. And the reason I bring that up is that it's actually a hint at the next DC game by, well, NetherRealm Studios, as it was, the former Midway, where two DC universes collide in Injustice. Well, I say collide. Several heroes from one universe are pulled into another by a desperate resistance who are trying to fight Superman. So that's a hint at that, I'm imagining, because I'm sure that the idea for a DC-style Mortal Kombat game was already in the works. And then Midway just happened to go out of business. And that's DC versus Mortal Kombat.
Which is a thing. I don't know. I mean, it was fine, but I just felt like it felt very unconnected from anything else we really have covered so far. Obviously, because it's just cutscenes in a wider game, yeah. And you know, what I saw was fine, but I didn't like. I mean, it wasn't anything I'd go look up now.
Yeah,
I didn't really feel like it's anything that I'll even remember, except that it exists.
Yep. So that is the end of our mentioning of Mortal Kombat in any way, shape, or form. And next week, we finally, after 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9,
finally get a Batman film?
No, after 16 episodes, we finally get an episode with Wonder Woman as the main character.
Oh my god. Is it good, though? No, don't tell me. I don't know.
I've never watched it before.
See, and that's why Wonder Woman doesn't get more films. Like, it's fine if I say that, because I watched none of them. But, like, come on.
Step up, Alan. I watched Wonder Woman in the cinemas twice.
Okay, fair enough. But still, I'm just saying.
I'm waiting to go see 84 when it comes out.
Yeah, if the cinemas are safe by then.
It's fine, I'll just go at 11:30 at night. No one else will be there.
I don't know if it's as popular as the first Wonder Woman, you never know, but yeah. Oh, hi. Catwoman has appeared on my desk, who's really Catman. Hi.
Does he have erroneous overbearing cleavage as well?
No. He thankfully he doesn't. He's very trim. Because he's got a new trick, which is like he's basically turned my room into an assault course.
Right.
So he goes from computer to the top of the bookcase, the top of the bookcase to the top of the door, from the top of the door to the top of the wardrobe, and from the top of the wardrobe to the bed. Just this circuit, and it's very scary.
So as I mentioned, the next movie coming up is Wonder Woman. Now, it's apparently based very loosely on the comic book Gods and Mortals.
Okay, I've actually heard of that. I've not read it because I haven't read any Wonder Woman comics or that I can think of. So yeah, so it should be fun, right?
Absolutely. Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.